You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And if I'm ready, you're ready. Does that mean you're ready?
I'm ready.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
1st edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show of 2021. Yes, we are back. We made it through 2020, maybe just barely, but you know, we still did it. I am your host, the Twitterless heroine herself, Miss Fancy Pants, ring announcer to the stars, the most professional podcaster, and of course, the queen of soft style, Miranda Morales, here hosting the Hashtag Miranda Show on TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, the Hashtag Miranda Show is available on TheChairShot.com and is a proud member of the ChairShot Radio Network. There you can find a variety of podcasts, all for you, revolving around sports, entertainment, wrestling, sports and entertainment, nerd fandom, you know, whatever it is, we have a podcast for you. Now, I keep saying we, not the royal we, because that could be weird. But though I am royalty, I am the queen of soft style. So it does make sense. However, I am joined by my co-host, the kingpin of thechairshot.com, Mr. Greg DeMarco.
Such good shit.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me. I know. So it's like last week when you were on Chairshot Radio, you were like, hello. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this fine broadcasting program.
That was my PBS. That was my NPR voice. I was testing it out, just trying to do a new flavor for Chairshot Radio. Did not work. Went back to the same old regular voice.
So much that we didn't invite you back for the second week. So
yeah, no, one hit wonder here, which is all right.
It's just this week was, I'll be back someday. This week I was like, I'm gonna record both on Monday. That's what I did.
Multitasking, yes. So yes, considering Miranda Brown was great.
Considering I did it sitting in the car. Yes, definitely multitasking.
Nice. That's a goal one day, is to record a whole podcast in a car.
It's not that hard as you think. Working.
Yeah, it's not that hard, but I haven't gotten to it yet. So I've been actually stuck in my house for most of the past 2 weeks, busy with work. I mean, you've alluded to it, Greg. I know many people coming back from the holiday break, just going at it with work, with life, with, you know, fitness, all of that. So, you know, it's why it took me a little bit longer to get back to this show. And this show, I mean, I keep saying, you know, maybe we'll run a little shorter, probably not. But, you know, this one may have a little sense of urgency, just because one, well, we're going to be talking about a topic that is happening this week. And for those of you who are listening, this is the week of, January 12th. If you're thinking about what's happening this weekend, then you'll probably know, but I'll talk about that in a second. I mean, life has just kept on rolling. And so everyone's just been busy and needed a little bit of an extended break before coming back. But I'm very excited to be back hosting the Hashtag Miranda Show, getting to speak with all of the listeners, getting to poke fun at Greg, you guys hearing our banter and crazy stuff, because we actually haven't had a chance to banter a whole lot. Just me and this kiddo here in quite some time. So yeah, the last...
On or off air, and we all know,
yes,
very few combos better than this one, and so that's, yep. Yeah, you're welcome, people out there listening. You're welcome.
I was going to note very last episode. Are you just going to press buttons while I'm talking? Is this how we're going to start 2021?
That's how we ended 2020.
I was going to say, so 2020, the last episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show, you actually were not involved.
Nope.
No. Surprise.
I was actually, like, I produced, I mean, it in the end, but, yeah, but I was not on air. Nope.
No, it was not on air, because I was joined by Stephanie Hardy for the last episode of 2020, where her and I got to talk a little bit about what we enjoyed about 2020 in pro wrestling. Also, some things that we thought could have been improved, done a little bit better. But I mentioned that because Stephanie has her very own podcast, the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and that is now available on thechairshot.com as part of the Chairshot Radio Network. So I'm very excited to have Stephanie is part of the team. You guys can listen to the podcast, her podcast, on thechairshot.com and also your favorite podcast streaming platform, such as Google Podcast, iTunes, Podbay, all of that stuff, of course, on thechairshot.com. And this, of course, podcast as well. But a big thank you to Stephanie for helping me wind down 2020, for being my guest co-host, and a big congratulations for her podcast on being a part of the Chairshot Radio Network.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And, I'm trying to think about this order, how I want to go into it, because again, this is one of the most random podcasts on the Chairshot Radio Network. I know what I'm going to say, what I want to say. I'm just trying to figure out the order. So I'm actually just going to jump into this, next topic real quick. Greg will know what I'm talking about when I talk about it. And because it's been a while since we've, been together, and also, it's been a while since we've talked about this, Impact Zone Wrestling, IZW, is coming back to the Phoenix, Arizona area, Tempe to be precise, because there's a difference. If you're not in Arizona, you're like, it's all Phoenix. And technically, yes, I get it, it's all Phoenix. But there are different areas of Phoenix, one being Tempe, where Sun Studios of Arizona is, and that is the home to Impact Zone Wrestling, IZW. The event will be Monster 2021 on Saturday, February 27th, where we are going to crown a new Impact Zone world champion. Now, unfortunately, we don't have a video format for the Hashtag Miranda Show this week, or else you would probably see Greg holding the IZW belt once again, which what he did for the remainder of 2020 and probably some of 2021. But if you are in the Phoenix area, in the Arizona area, make sure you get your tickets for Impact Zone Wrestling IZW Presents Monster 2021 on Saturday, February 27th. We're going to crown a new IZW world champion, a big, big milestone in the resurgence of IZW. First time in 10 years, there's going to be a new IZW world champion. So, I mean, gosh, already kicking off this year with the first IZW event, and it is going to be a monster.
Yep. 13 people will enter the ring, which is more than some people who have been to local recent wrestling shows, and will compete for the IZW World Heavyweight Championship. Tickets are going fast. I'm not going to lie. We, you know, obviously with the holidays that slows back down, but now that we're out of the holidays, it's already picked back up. Post two announcements yesterday and look, here goes some more ticket sales. Front row sold out. Couches sold out. Only thing left is general admission. And here's the crazy part. Here's a Paul Heyman spoiler. That's going to sell out too. So, and I don't say that to be, I know it sounds almost condescending, but it's something I'm very proud of, something I love, but it's the truth. And at this point, we've developed the brand to that point. So why I say that is get your tickets now and come out, have a good time. We take all the precautions necessary. If for some reason the show wouldn't happen, we'll honor them at the next show or we'll refund them. We'll definitely take care of that. We had to do it last year. So come on out, check it out. It's going to be a great time. Look, and if that doesn't convince you, I want you to know that I'm going to be there. Me, Greg DeMarco, will be there. And if that doesn't convince you, and it probably shouldn't, Miranda Morales is also going to be there. And so come out, be a part of it, have some fun with us, enjoy a night off, enjoy a night out, see some local professional wrestling. And I guarantee you, it's more than just local professional wrestling trotting out matches. If you know me at all, you know we book the shit out of it. We tell stories and we have a lot of fun. So IZWWrestling.com, pick up your tickets, come on out, have a great time, and you won't be sorry. I promise you.
Yes. That's Impact Zone Wrestling IZW Saturday, February 27th for Monster. So, of course, we have the Monster match occurring, some other ones that will be occurring as well. Stay tuned. Make sure you follow IZW Wrestling on social media so you can stay up to date on matches and wrestlers who will be appearing at the show. Also for ticket information, because that's also how we announce when seats are sold out. And as Greg mentioned, they will sell out. It happened last time. A while before the show, we anticipate that it's going to happen again. So make sure just to buy your tickets as soon as you are able to. And that is your IZW announcement for this show. Of course, we're going to be talking more about IZW as we get closer to it because, hey, that's what's part of the show. We will continue to support independent wrestling. Of course, as Greg mentioned, both of us are involved in IZW and have been involved in our local independent scenes. So that's just what we do on this show. I highly suggest and recommend that you check out whichever local independent promotions are in your area. You can research that on social media. You can go and see if any of those promotions are running shows, or if maybe they're not, or maybe you don't want to go to a show, see how you could support them by following them on social media, maybe purchasing merchandise that they have available, supporting wrestlers who are active with those promotions. Whatever it is, do your part to support your local indie promotion. Speaking of, well, what's one way that you can do that? Well, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com.
You know what? I think you deserve the proper introduction, just like you get on. I really do.
I think wind from it now up. On, wind it up.
Wind we should it wind up. It up. That should be how you ask for it, too. You should ask me to wind it up, and then I will wind it up.
Wind it up. Yes, it is time for you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to purchase your very own chairshot t-shirt today. As I alluded to a few seconds ago, not only can you get your Chairshot t-shirts there, you can also get your Impact Zone Wrestling IZW t-shirts on there as well. So you can do that if you are not in the Arizona area, if you cannot attend IZW Monster on February 27th, well, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an IZW t-shirt today. You can also pick up a t-shirt to support the Chairshot.com, including lots of cool logos and designs, including the OG Chairshot logo, Chairshot Worldwide, the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling t-shirt, Everybody Hates Greg, and of course, last but not least, the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt that you can get in Soft Style. Absolutely. I wouldn't do that to you and offer you a Queen of Soft Style t-shirt without having it available in Soft Style. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your Chairshot and or, I'm going to say and, IZW t-shirt today. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Wild card, bitches!
All right. So this week's topic, well, it's going to be a little mix of things. We're going to be reviewing something as far as an upcoming event, but also doing a little reminiscing of something, which you may say, what is this, Miranda? What are we doing here? Don't worry. I'll explain very shortly. I tease that we will be discussing an event that's happening this weekend. And for those of you who have calendars or probably just already know, tonight, we'll be reviewing Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill 2021. This is the first, not first event, because they had Genesis this past Saturday, but the first major event, major pay-per-view that Impact Wrestling will host of the new year. And not only are we going to be talking and kind of making some predictions about this Saturday's event, I'm also going to do a little reminiscing because last year's Hard to Kill event, it holds a very special place in my heart. It was my very first one Impact Wrestling event that I ever attended, but also an opportunity for me to go as representative of thechairshot.com and go and be part of the presser and be part of the media coverage that was there. And so that for me was a huge career milestone that I'm going to reminisce a little bit about because it does hurt. It hurts that, you know, I'm not there this year, that nobody's there this year. No fans. Impact is still not having fans at their tapings and at their events. Media is not there as well. And so it stings a little bit because it was such a pivotal moment in my kind of career going there as part of thechairshot.com and all the people that I met and just seeing that side of wrestling and going and seeing, you know, really an event that helped solidify a new chapter in Impact Wrestling. Though lots of things change after that for multiple reasons that we'll also kind of briefly get into, it was a huge turning point for Impact Wrestling. And so I will always associate Hard to Kill as a big New Year's event, but also a big turning point to the direction that Impact Wrestling will go for at least the rest of the spring, if not the rest of the year. This year's Hard to Kill event is being headlined by one of the biggest events that's happening in pro wrestling, one of the most talked about in pro wrestling, and that's AEW champion Kenny Omega teaming up with the Good Brothers to face Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. Something that if I was, you know, talking to myself a year ago at Hard to Kill, and you would say, you know, this is what the main event will be for the 2021 show, would have said that's insane, not going to happen. So it is an interesting way to, you know, take the perspective of how much things can change in a year, not only with the world, but also in the world of professional wrestling. So Greg, I know you don't necessarily watch a lot of a lot of Impact Wrestling. And so some of this I'll kind of be teaching you about, which is a new thing that never happens. But what are your initial, what are some thoughts that come to mind when I talk about Hard to Kill? Because there has been a lot of press coming up about it recently. The buildup, of course, with Kenny Omega being on the show. But also just as we'll go through the card, you know, Impact really over the past few months kind of generating some buzz that I think has been bringing in maybe some new eyes or not some new eyes, but definitely eyes to the Impact Wrestling product.
You know, what's interesting is that you look at that main event that you just read off, and I don't remember when he joined the company, but I'm pretty sure he was already there. Only Rich Swann was in the company when the last Hard to Kill took place.
Correct. That
and
is
yet now we have Kenny Omega, who at the time was in AEW.
Because he got injured right before Hard to Kill last year. Right. So I think there was an event in Texas, because I remember actually seeing him on crutches around during that time. So you're right.
At the Vegas tapings that I went to, he wasn't there.
On the active roster a year ago.
The Good Brothers were in WWE at the time. Kenny Omega, of course, was in AEW and doing his thing. Alex Shelley was actually getting ready to debut on NXT as Kushida's tag team partner for the Dusty Classic. And Chris Sabin was working backstage as a producer for Impact Wrestling. So I guess he was technically with the company, but was not an active performer at the time. And yet here we are a year later. It's also interesting because last year's main event was this groundbreaking, newsworthy, you know, Tessa Blanchard, female challenger to the Impact Wrestling World Championship. At the time, it was and still is the highest profile title match between a woman and a man. It's happened before in wrestling, but not at this level. And who knows when it can happen again. Fast forward now, we've got a six-man tag team match featuring champions from multiple promotions, not defending said titles. So it's just crazy what difference a year makes, and almost kind of sad in the sense that amazing moment, which was spoiled during the days before by people coming out with some things against Tessa Blanchard. And of course, we all know how she exited the company. And now where we are, it's like and some of it has to do with 2020. That's a distant memory at this point.
Yeah. And it feels like just something from almost a lifetime ago. And I remember being there and the buzz around Tessa Blanchard on the precipice of making history. I mean, it was a big deal because we were also coming on the heels of 2019, which was a big moment for women's wrestling. And it almost was now promotions were doing all of these things, not to necessarily top each other, but women were getting more opportunities, more airtime, more spotlight. And this was taking it up a notch. Not, you know, 2019, we had the women main eventing WrestleMania, main eventing other pay-per-views, first matches in so many ways. And then you start off 2020 with a woman competing for and ultimately winning the world championship, the first in mainstream wrestling, which was a huge deal. And it almost felt like an additional coming for of women just almost this way to kick off a year where we were going to continue to see women climb up the wrestling charts, and we were going to continue to see great matches and maybe see women have more opportunities to face men. And that almost felt like Impact's niche, where they could actually carve something unique compared to what AEW and WWE were doing. It was almost like if they can keep this rolling, they may actually attract new viewers, or they may be able to gain some momentum in this quote unquote wrestling war, because they're going to be doing something so unique that other companies, especially AEW, was adamant saying, no, we're not going to have intergender wrestling. And one thing that WWE, you know, had rarely and occasionally, but not to this level. So it is very strange now looking back at it and seeing how that whole situation turned out with Tessa winning the championship, but ultimately leaving. And even I do remember being there and the buzz happening about the allegations against her and things that she allegedly had said and some of her viewpoints. It was like a bomb like just dropped in the area, and people really not sure what to do or how to react. But I would say when I was there and she won that main event, the crowd there was wild. It was a very, very momentous occasion. It was historical. Whatever your opinions may be about Tessa and about Impact Wrestling, it was something that, one, they haven't done, and I don't think they will do again, and I don't think any other company at this point is looking to approach that territory. So even if it was for a moment, we got to see a woman become a world champion in a major wrestling promotion, and that I don't think you can take away from either her or from Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I agree. You can't take it away. It ended the way I thought it was going to end. The way I said on this program it would end, which is her not losing the belt in the ring. But it's I hope that the events that surrounded it and the events that followed it don't tarnish its place in history.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that, we talked about this too, but the World Impact World Championship has had to do a lot of R&R, a lot of had some R&R, but they've had to do a lot of rehab on that belt because it wasn't defended for a good portion of 2020. And then ultimately with Tessa relinquishing it, you know, they had that 5-way at Slammiversary for the title. And, you know, it's changed hands a few times with it. I have my own thoughts. As much as I like Rich Swann as a performer, as a wrestler, I do not see him. I just don't, I'm not drawn to him as Impact World Champion. So this goes back to what you mentioned too about the World Championship not being defended. You know, the World Championship, I think in a lot of ways is being underplayed by other championships within Impact Wrestling. I feel like the Knockouts Championship is getting more attention. Even the Knockouts Tag Titles, which we'll talk about in a second. The X Division, you know, all of those I feel like have a little bit more competition underneath them, have more storyline to them. And I think people are just more interested in what's happening in that scene now than with the World Championship.
Yeah. And part of me, and this is going off topic, but that's what we do here, right? Part of me feels like Rich Swann's just keeping that belt company until Moose has it. I really feel like that's where we're headed. And what they did at Genesis kind of solidifies that.
I was gonna say it does look like Moose is gonna be challenging Rich Swann for the Impact World Championship. And see, that's a story I can appreciate now in hindsight with Moose and the TNA World Championship. That's been kind of a roundabout, somewhat funny at first, but now pretty serious storyline with Moose and his perception of being a world champion and holding a championship with value. You know, he may end up combining the two titles and holding them. And I agree. I think it's just hopefully it's kind of a point to get to Moose being Impact World Champion. Because I feel like right now out of a lot of people on the roster and the stories they're telling, his would be one of the more interesting ones of being a world champion.
I think it's time. I don't know if he can be a good world champion. I think it's time to find out.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. So last year, speaking of Moose, he faced Rhino in this Gore versus Spear or match context. And so this year, in which, you know, Moose won because he had this kind of TNA legend killer type of gimmick as well, which ultimately led him to pursue the TNA heavyweight championship as his own. This year, we have Rhino was part of a 6-man old school rules tag team match. Eric Young, Cody Deaner. He's not even Cody anymore. He's just Deaner. And Joe Doring versus Cousin Jake, Rhino, and Tommy Dreamer. This is apparently storyline wise in as far as the result of the Deaners, the tag team splitting up. Cody joining Eric Young and Joe Doring with that new faction. And of course, Cousin Jake, Rhino, and Tommy Dreamer, you know, it is what it is. I have to admit that I was at one point excited to see the Deaners after what they'd been doing in Wrestling House or in Wrestle House. And I was getting reinvested in them, and then they broke up. So not one, to be honest, that's exactly thrilling or makes me super excited, but you know, it is a match on the card. I foresee the team of Eric Young, Cody and Joe winning, establishing that kind of this new trio. And again, Eric Young, I believe this time last year, was still with the WWE.
Sort of.
It's crazy. Yeah, sort of. He was there, not really being utilized.
Yeah, he was. The thing of, okay, I agree with you. I think Eric Young, Deaner, I don't know why, he can't be Cody.
I don't.
It's like Cody owns the name Cody Rhodes, but not Cody, whatever. And Joe Doering will probably win this match. Here's my problem with this match, and this is Greg being stupid, right? In what world is old school rules no DQ and false count anywhere? Like, how does that?
Well, it's just, I think it's that precipice. Match. Like, anytime Tommy Dreamer is in a match, it just automatically counts as old school rules. Like, it just is. Literally every match that Tommy Dreamer's in, that's just the way,
like,
it turns
when
out.
When I heard old school rules, I was like, okay, we got to hold the tag ropes. There's going to be two people on the outside.
Oh, no.
Instead, it's nothing.
No.
There's nothing that's old not school about defines. It whatsoever, no, about, no. Except for some of the people in the match.
That's not how Impact defines old school rules. Like, old school rules is synonymous with Tommy Dreamer, who's synonymous with hardcore style of wrestling. So that is their logic.
They call it hardcore rules. Old school is just, it's just a dumb name for the match.
I agree, but I'm just saying that's no. Old school there is not the old school that you were thinking of. Now, speaking of kind of going back, now this is more than a year old, but this is actually a program that I've enjoyed watching for years, and I'm actually glad they're revisiting this. Eddie Edwards versus Sami Callihan. And this is, speaking of hardcore, a barbed wire massacre match. I was a little surprised that they were revisiting this ultimately towards the end of 2020. But if anyone knows the history between Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards, it's one that is fairly vicious and one that they've circled back to many a time. And I don't know what it is about these two in the ring, but they just have a chemistry that makes me want to keep watching them. There's very few people in wrestling that I'll just watch over and over and over again in matches, in different formats, but in matches. One of them is Sasha and Bayley, the other one is Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan. So I'm not mad that they're revisiting this. I'm not mad that they're doing this. Ultimately, too, I mean, a lot has changed. You know, Eddie Edwards at the time was going through this last year, going through I'm trying to remember my words, but it was in a series of matches with, I'm trying to remember.
Well, I know at Hard to Kill, he fought Michael Elgin for the Call Your Shot.
Yes, it was it was Michael Elgin. He was in, I believe, in a best of seven series, I believe, with him. And Michael Elgin no longer with the company. Also shows how much things change in a year. And of course, Sami Callihan was headlining Hard to Kill last year. But I don't view this. I mean, he's been out of the title picture since really losing the belt. They did have a rematch shortly afterwards. Sami Callihan had a pretty big evolution with OVE kind of just breaking up and then teaming up with Ken Shamrock. Now he's kind of back on his own. But still through all of, you know, his steps and everything that he's done, still having a sense of, you know, knowing exactly who Sami Callihan is. So I'm excited for this match. It's hard for me to say who I think is going to win, to be honest. In some ways, it doesn't matter. We all win in this match. I'm leaning a little bit more towards Eddie Edwards. But that is just me, because I'm a little bit more inclined to have the baby face win in this. But, you know, this is, I think, a good example of being able to have a long-term program like this that you've kind of been weaving in and out of for years, and being able to come back to it at this point of time where they've both kind of evolved and changed as wrestlers, but also with the company, and you're getting to really – you know, do this again in a way that really plays on their history.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Randy Orton and Edge, it's you know, Kevin Steen and El Generico, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It's Peter Griffin and the Chicken. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox. It is Eddie Edwards and Sammy Callahan. You're right. You said it perfectly. It doesn't matter who wins this match. But for the sake of making a pick, I'm going to go with the power of the Capris, and Eddie Edwards picks up the victory.
Yeah. Power Jorts. I mean, he's really making those look good. I mean, he's really carrying that flag since John Cena left.
No, there's a big difference between the Jorts and the Capris. Like, there just is. And it's he's making Jorts look good by wearing Capris, basically.
You know, any type of extended short apparently is what we're going to just classify it as. And maybe it's that common Boston, you know, just like people think like everyone, you know, in the West Coast does things, or, you know, Phoenix is the same place no matter where you go. Everybody in Boston wears, you know, jorts. That's just what I'm going to say. Yeah, it has the same accent, you know, all of that. And he's not even from Boston. He's from Westbury, Massachusetts. So anyone on the East Coast, I'm just putting the East Coast flag right there.
Wow, you expanded that fast.
Yeah. No, that was the journey we all went through, and I appreciate everyone following along in my map of the United States. Speaking of things that are new again, we have the finals of the Knockouts Tag Team Tournament. Havoc and Nevaeh versus Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz. The winners will become the new Impact Tag Team Champions. Now, talk about, you know, storylines in this. They've really been building this up since last spring, having some of these pairings in the Knockouts divisions together and really building up the rivalries and the programs really a lot with bringing on board Tasha Steelz as a new signee, partnering her with Kiera Hogan. Nevaeh coming on board, who had been partnering with Havoc on the independent scene and finally joining her in Impact. Of course, Taya and Rosemary forming a bond after some of their vicious fights, finally coming together as a team. Kimberly aligning with Deonna Purrazzo. They really built up all of these teams for quite some time, and it led to a lot of speculation that they were going to be reintroducing the Knockouts Tag Team Championship belts, and they did. That they announced this tournament, and I think fans were really happy about it because it's a new set of titles. And before the WWE had the women's tag team belts, you know, Impact did it first. And though the history of the tag team titles, you know, you can look back at it and say it's kind of mixed, I feel like the Knockouts division is much more well prepared and set up now to have long-term success with the Knockouts tag team titles. And also, I think the state of women's wrestling has evolved and changed so much that it supports the longevity of these tag team titles. And also just my fandom is leaning towards Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz. They are such a dynamic, fun team. Their energy is infectious. I mean, they just work so well in and out of the ring. And I feel like them, especially being one of the early teams coming together, was just a sign all along that they were meant to win these titles. So I'm really rooting for Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz.
I'm with you. If we did a who should win, who will win, I might say that Hogan and Steelz should win, but Havoc and Nevaeh will win because, I don't know, it's just a gut instinct. But given a pick, I really want to go with Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz. This is very interesting because it's, you know, WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, Impact Wrestling did it first, but in recent days, big tag team tournament for women, AEW did it first. And in both cases, Impact Wrestling does it better. Like, that's just a fact.
Yeah, it's not even my opinion. Is so underrated in pro wrestling right now.
It's the second best.
Underrated.
It's the second best women's division in wrestling, in my opinion, behind that of NXT. But I'll be honest with you. I'm not saying it's a landslide. It's close.
I appreciate the storytelling that they've done with the Impact Knockouts division. And again, these tag team pairings, the way that they set that up months and months before they even announced the tournament, was really smart. Because all of the teams in there, they brought in some teams from the independent scene to help with filling out the brackets. But the team dynamics, you can get a sense of, it made it even that much more challenging to know who was going to win and who was going to move throughout the tournament. And so and they've also showed kind of pairing some more individuals with others that have either common characteristics or to help develop a storyline, such as like Kimberly and Deanna Purrazzo. You know, Kimberly came in by herself, but then through storytelling and even through her character as well, it matched up to the character of the virtuosa so well that dynamic flowed and became very credible and something that still kind of carries through. Even addressing the history between Taya and Rosemary, this odd couple, but they have fought battles for years, finally being able to put their differences aside and becoming friends. I mean, there's just such good storytelling on top of really good wrestling. And they've done something with women's wrestling that is very unique that, yeah, absolutely was better than what AEW did. And I think made them very unique and stand out in the world of professional wrestling. So,
you know, it's funny too. I want to bring up, just to piggyback on what you're saying, they also had other storylines interwoven throughout the tournament. And again, in comparison to AEW, their tournament wasn't even good enough to be on Dark. It was on YouTube.
They didn't put it on TV. It was just
and they didn't even talk about it much on TV. And now it's over. When you see Ivelisse and Diamante, do they even mention it? Like, it's just. Again, AEW booking is usually done to appease somebody. This whole Impact thing is done to appease Kenny Omega. The whole tournament was done to appease Brandi Rhodes. Like, it's just all friends wrestling and all fantasy booking wrestling, and that's the problem. Whereas Impact actually put a ton of thought and time and maybe even the planning and the setbacks of the pandemic allowed them to do that. But this was very well done, and they deserve a ton of credit for it. They really, really do. And I think the payoff is, even if, say, Havoc and Nevaeh won, and I don't know that they will, I think the payoff will be satisfying because it'll have follow-up, because we have champions coming out of it who will then defend their championships moving forward. And this tournament will have meaning and will actually be remembered for that reason.
Yeah. And again, because you already have other teams established, you'll have follow-up. You'll have other teams who will be chasing after those belts at any point. So, and even if you do maybe have some odd pairings here and there, or bringing in, people just maybe for, you know, one-offs, it's still only, I think, just strengthening the Knockouts division. So, kudos to them. Very excited for this match. Go Tasha and Kiera. The next match I'm going to be talking about, now this is a little bit more random. This has been more of a recent development, but this kind of has some deeper ties to independent wrestling, the past and the future. And this is Ethan Page versus the Karate Man. This is a singles match where you're wondering why I say that. Well, because it's the same person technically. The Karate Man, I know. Greg is shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
You just yelled at me about kayfabe not too long ago, and here you are. That's okay. It's obvious. It's part of the joke.
Well, I find the humor of it being a singles match is that, it is somewhat
It's bad. The most singles of a singles match ever.
Yeah, and I mean, some people believe, Mick Foley is not Mankind, or Mankind, Cactus Jack, and Dude Love are all three separate people. So
I mean, three did enter a Royal Rumble. So
he did enter a Royal Rumble. So
he's also not Santa Claus. So despite what he wants,
yeah. So the Karate Man, Ethan Page, in a one-on-one match, and so the Karate Man is. This other persona that Ethan Page has used a lot on the independent circuit, and it's just starting to make an appearance here in Impact Wrestling. Some of this due to some dissension or tension that he had with tag team partner Josh Alexander after they lost a rematch for the tag team championships. Josh Alexander was wondering what was running through the mind of Ethan Page. And so he's almost kind of had a split You can almost call it a split personality, but we will have this match, the Karate Man versus Ethan Page. Now, this screams cinematic as to how do you not...
It is cinematic. It's been like, revealed that it's cinematic. Yeah. So,
that's going to be very interesting.
I think it's going to be fun and entertaining. Here's my hope. And first of all, I'm going to pick the Karate Man to win just because why the hell not, right? YTF not. We're all winners no matter what happens.
We're all winning this match.
Look, Ethan Page is leaving. There's just no way around it. He's probably going to go to NXT.
So that was the other thing about this is that this could also be one, if not the final match that we see.
And that's where I was going. I hope it's not. And here's why. Not that it'll be bad. Not that it's maybe his creative inspiration and he wants to go out on that. How do you not have him put over Josh Alexander before he leaves? Like, set your boy up for something before you go, because Josh Alexander has every tool needed to be a top-level threat in Impact Wrestling. Hopefully, because they tape in advance and all of that, maybe there's some follow-up on the next Impact where they have their one-on-one match, and that's how we send Ethan Page off. But if this is it for him, then I think it could be a waste of an opportunity to build Josh Alexander as a solo guy. But this on its own, I think it'd be fun for what it is. It fits in Impact Wrestling and I will enjoy it. And Karate Man's going over because that's the guy who needs to go over.
That's the guy. And it's almost a way though, too, if you are closing that chapter, that page for Ethan Page, I guess, figuratively and literally, makes sense for the Karate Man to win. I agree. We all win. I mean, we talk about this with Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan. This is another match we all win because we're going to get some funny stuff. And again, Impact can do humor pretty well. I mean, AEW gets so much credit for some of the stupid humor that they do, you know. And trust me, I love stupid humor. I love stupid shit. I will say it till the cows come home. However, if you just look at AEW and say they know how to do comedy the best, well, you have your blinders on because Impact can do some pretty good comedy. And you just are choosing not to watch it or just choosing to favor AEW for it. And I think this will be one of the funniest, if not the funniest spot of the entire night.
Agreed.
And I mean, last year we had Ethan Page and Josh Alexander face Willie Mack in a handicap match. That became one of my favorite matches of 2020. I mean,
because of the Rich Swan injury, actually.
Huh?
That was because of the Rich Swan injury that you talked about earlier.
Yeah. Willie Mack had to do that match alone because Rich Swan was out, and it was a testament of how dynamic and amazing Willie Mack is and how much I just love the North. The North, I mean, it is one thing. They really did a lot of their best work more in 2019. 2020, they did, still carrying a lot of the tag division on their backs until some of these other teams came with the Motor City Machine Guns and the Good Brothers, which was great because it added more dynamic because they had already beat everybody. So you needed to shake things up. But I love the North, and there's not a lot of tag teams that I can just, gravitate towards, but the North is fantastic and I love them. So I will be sad that Ethan Page will leave, but that means one day when they get back together again, it will be amazing. Cause that's just the way it goes.
That's what's going to happen in NXT.
That's going to happen. The next match I want to talk about is a triple threat match for the X Division Championship. Manic will be facing Chris Bay and Rohit Raju. And this is interesting because none of these men, I mean, they were, well, I would say Rohit, I believe, was with the company. Chris had just signed, and TJP was there. Well, Manic, again, Fabe, but we all know who's under that.
They're not even hiding it. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's all the same. Now, the X Division has definitely gone through a lot of change and evolution over 2020. Multiple champions, including all three men in this match. Last year, we had Ace Austin versus Trey Miguel, which was more kind of storyline-driven, cheesy line-driven with Ace Austin trying to get up onto Trey's mom, which, ultimately nothing really came of that, but it was very significant with someone like Ace Austin, who had only been with the company for a short amount of time, really carrying the X Division I saw a lot of that initially too with Chris Bay when he first won, but Rohit Raju's Impact X Division Championship reign was one of the most unexpected but fun surprises for me of last year. I thought he was a fantastic champion. I thought his storyline of how he continued to retain the belt was really fun and entertaining. And ultimately too, he could go in the ring. He's a fantastic wrestler, but the fact that he kind of chose some of these odd way out was something that kept me involved as in a storyline. At the core, the X division is still a very dynamic athletic division, and that's what you keep on getting. I don't think that has changed much, but the players have changed a bit. And it also seems like it's a stepping stone for some to kind of be able to move through different title pictures or for different stories. So, you know, this one is still somewhat new with Manic only being champion now for probably about a month and a half, maybe 2 months by the time this happens, not very long, but you know, just a really good wrestling match.
Yeah, it's interesting because they've kind of played hot potato with this belt just a little bit. I thought Chris Bay's reign was cut way too short, and I didn't want Willie Mack to lose it when he lost it. And then here we are. It's since gone to Rohit Raju, who had a great thing going, and then we ended that for Manic, and Manic's a recycled gimmick from the past, and so it's like, what do we do moving forward? So it's just interesting to me. Entertainment-wise, the match itself will be good. I just want to see where we're going and what we're doing.
Yes.
And that, to me, is it. Given the fact that Ace Austin just won the Super X Cup, whatever the hell they called it, and should really be back in the X Division now, challenging, probably going to see Manic come out on top of this and move into that program with Ace Austin. What they do with Chris Bay and Rohit Raju, I don't know. Hopefully it's good. And we'll see. But hey, I've said it before, you know, even in Impact Wrestling, everywhere else, it's booking's a cycle. If you can manage the ups and downs, you can be successful long term. And that might be what these guys, especially Chris Bay, is in for right now. And that's not necessarily a terrible thing. So,
yes, agreed. Up next, we have the Knockouts Championship on the line. Champion Deonna Purrazzo will be facing Taya Valkyrie. Now, a year ago, Taya was defending this belt. She was the longest reigning Knockouts champion, and she was in a triple threat match against Jordynne Grace and
DB.
ODB. And so things have changed now with Taya being the challenger for this. And some of this challenge stemmed, at least storyline-wise, from the end-of-year awards, where Deonna Purrazzo not only won Wrestler of the Year, but Knockout of the Year. And I say it in that order. One, it was very, to me, I have to admit, was very surprising that she won Wrestler of the Year. When you look at all the others that were nominated, like Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards and Rich Swann
even,
and a lot of
here's the title thing picture about that I want to comment on real fast, because I thought about this earlier and I kind of was hoping this topic would come up. If any of the aforementioned people won Wrestler of the Year in Impact Wrestling, all deserving, all can be made a case for, wouldn't think about it a day later. No one would say a word about it a day later. Yeah. And this is where we have to remember, sometimes, just like championships, these awards are props and storytelling devices. And giving it to Deonna Purrazzo, we now remember it. We now talk about it. It has meaning. And this is the case where using it for storyline purposes was more valuable than using it for merit purposes, in my opinion. Yeah. And I think
And it ultimately was, because she won Knockout of the Year, which was the title that Taya had won the year previously. And that's how the conversation got going. Taya had hoped that she would win Knockout of the Year, but ultimately that would have been more of a surprise, because Deonna really did deserve Knockout of the Year. She came into the division, she flipped it on its head, and she is one of the most dominant champions since Taya, to be honest, to come into the scene. I think match between Deonna and Jordynne Grace at Slammiversary was one of the best women matches in all of wrestling. Probably the best Knockouts match of the entire year, but just one of the best women's matches of the entire year. And that was, you know, her first go at it. So I think Deonna is fantastic and has been a breath of fresh air to the Knockouts division. But it's also interesting to see Taya on this other side of the coin, because she played more of the dominant champion for much of 2019, even in the beginning of 2020. I still love the attitude, the dynamic between these two women. It will be a very competitive match, and very similar to what I saw and felt with Jordan and Deanna at Slammiversary. I think that we could get that quality of a match at Hard to Kill. I feel like we are going to see more of this more competitive and maybe less campy Taya Valkyrie. We've had more of this character of Taya Valkyrie for much of 2020, but I miss the Valkyrie. I miss La Guerra Loca. I really miss that edge to her, and I feel like Deanna's bringing that out of her. So I have high expectations.
Maybe you'll see it when she goes to NXT, because her deal's up, and so she's going to put Deanna over and go bye-bye. And maybe she'll skip NXT and go right to SmackDown or Raw. I don't know, but...
A year ago, I mean, Deanna was in NXT, and we didn't see much of her there. No. And one big move to Impact, and it's completely changed her career.
It has. It really has. And she definitely – it was the right move, and it's worked out for the best. And she's the kind of person you could see back in a couple of years, to be honest with you. And I think she'll be better because of it, and maybe her attitude will have changed. Knowing too much and knowing what was going on in her personal life at the time, it doesn't surprise me. And I think she's going to be in a much better place when, if and when she goes back. It's interesting that it's Taya, if this is it for her, and I believe it is, again, another huge missed opportunity in the sense that Taya versus Tessa Blanchard for the Impact World Championship was an afterthought on an episode of Impact and should have main evented a pay-per-view, because
that was going to be history. And that gets me so agitated thinking about.
Instead, they went with the three-way, which became the five-way, which became the whatever-way. And it should have been, and maybe and COVID might have prevented it from happening anyway, but they did it at the Vegas tapings that I was at. And I remember when I got there and found out the match had already taken place, I was like, that doesn't make any sense, because it even seemed like they were building it for a pay-per-view, and it should have. They could have touted – it's the same company that gave their Wrestler of the Year to a woman. They could have touted being the first time that two women wrestled for a company's world title in the main event of a pay-per-view. And we talked about how great it was that Chris Bay challenged Rich Swann in the main event of a pay-per-view type show. It was really an Impact Plus special. But to do that with Taya and with Tessa would have been equally amazing, just for different reasons. And I feel like that is just a huge, huge missed opportunity. And that's the thing. Despite these missed opportunities, Impact still had a very good year. And also, you brought up Jordan Grace. Jordan Grace, much like Chris Bay, suffers from Impact Wrestling's flavor of the month booking. And Jordan Grace did not get the run she should have with the Knockouts Championship. Chris Bay didn't get the run he should have with the exhibition.
Also, she didn't win the championship. She won that in Mexico. I don't believe that was televised. So again,
tapings. It did make TV. Yeah, it was at the Mexico tapings and it made TV. But again, it's right around pre-COVID and then aired right at the beginning of COVID. And that's just a blur for everybody.
Yeah. So, again, interesting to see. A year ago, your Knockouts champion was not even with the company. And now the challenger is, you know, what was the champion. So who's to know, who's to say what's going to happen a year from now. But very interesting to see this. And again, I have high expectations for this match. I don't care. I'm just going to set them up high because I think it's going to be fantastic. And who knows what's going to happen with Taya. Her contract is coming up soon. Who she's going to sign with, what that's going to look like. But she has been one that, a pillar of the Knockouts division.
Absolutely.
So we get to tonight's, well, not tonight's, well, the show's main event, main event of Hard to Kill. Of course, we talked about Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. So this is the culmination of one of the most talked about events in 2020, Kenny Omega showing up on Impact Wrestling. This was definitely a whirlwind after he won the AEW World Championship with the help of Don Callis, who was at Dynamite doing commentary, you know, provided a lending hand to Kenny Omega with the distraction. He left Dynamite as the world champion. And as they were being chased, I believe, by Alex Marvez out of the building as to, you know, giving an explanation, those famous words from Don Callis, we will tell you more on Tuesday. And that just set kind of a big firestorm in the world of wrestling, that we were getting this crossover between AEW and Impact Wrestling. And for the past month, we've seen Kenny Omega as part of these Impact tapings, not so much in the ring, if anything, in an RV in the parking lot of the arena, you know, setting up this program with this reunion with the Good Brothers, which has come somewhat full circle with the Good Brothers making an appearance on AEW Dynamite last week in this Bullet Club reunion taking place. And now we are finally going to see Kenny Omega step foot in an Impact ring to face Rich Swann, the Impact World Champion, and the Motor City Machine Guns. I'm going to say this is going to be underwhelming. And I hate jumping to that, but I feel like some of the momentum has died down. We see that in the ratings. The interest isn't as there as much. And ultimately, there's really nothing at stake here. And so this also, too, will be a chance. Now, because this is a six-man, who knows who's going to eat the pin? You know, we may see Rich Swann into the Motor City Machine Guns win, but pin, you know, one of the Good Brothers out. That is really the only way I see them winning. But if not, it could be Kenny Omega pinning Rich Swann in the middle of an Impact ring. I think Greg's shaking his head. Preach it, brother. Tell me about it.
First off, it has lost momentum. And the reason it's lost momentum is because of the motivation behind it. It's Kenny Omega's vanity idea. And AEW being AEW wants to make their talents, creative ideas happen, regardless of whether or not they're any good. And of course, everybody loves it because it's AEW. And it's cool because they're two companies working together or whatever. But as we've already seen, the benefit just isn't there. If he pins Rich Swann in this match, then tune in next week. That's all I can say to this show, because if you thought I was through the roof when we first talked about this topic, I'll be through the roof again. I'm going to go with the who should win, who will win that we like to do sometimes, right? The who should win is Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns, because Rich Swann finds a way to pin Kenny Omega. That's what should happen. Because that's good booking, and that sets up a one-on-one match that it's then okay if Omega wins and doesn't hurt Rich Swann as much, because we have the visual of Rich Swann pinning Kenny Omega. If Rich Swann pins Carl Anderson, which always happens, Carl Anderson always takes the pin, he doesn't really accomplish much, right? They win the match, but whatever. And if Kenny Omega pins any member of the other team, it's just more of the Kenny Omega thing that they're doing that really makes no sense and hurts Impact Wrestling. To me, I feel like if the end game is Swann versus Omega, which it should be, then that's what you got to do. But the who will win to me is Omega and the Good Brothers, because it's too sweet. It's all friends wrestling. It's AEW doing favors for Impact, and in return, they're going to get this win because these are the people that actually think who wins these matches matters, and it's probably going to be Kenny Omega pinning Alex Shelley or Chris Sabin, in my opinion, and underwhelming is you're probably right in that regard, too.
Mm-hmm. And the whole tone of this crossover between AEW and Impact has really felt, especially since day one for me, is that AEW has had this condescending tone to Impact of, oh, you're so cute. Look at your little champion. Look at your little tag teams. And that's not just the sense I've gotten from Kenny and Don Callis. That's, you know, these weekly vignettes from the Tonys coming in. And so I'm still just I'm just not understanding what this is all about, other than, you know, and we've had a whole conversation about this on this show because We've definitely had some differencing opinions, even though I think we've come to the same conclusion. We've had some differencing of opinions regarding, you know, what is the true intent behind this and why. And ultimately, as much as it seems like a very good idea for a partnership, the implementation has felt like, oh, we're doing this as a favor for Impact, and they should, you know, appreciate all of these, you know, bunch of new viewers that we brought in for only about 1 week to this product. And so it just feels like a very condescending tone from AEW, whether that is just part of the gimmick, part of the, you know, storytelling, or there's some type of hint of truth to that. That's just my perception. If it really is storyline, then great. They're projecting that, but ultimately then what's the end game? If you know, does this mean eventually you poke the bear and eventually it wakes up and then Impact comes at you with all this rage? Or is it just, hey, we have a lot of money, so let's just kind of be mean to this other promotion because we can. I don't know. But, you know, it could draw, again, it's a lot of publicity, a lot of press, especially on Impact being able to leverage using, you know, the AEW World Champion, that we could see some of more storytelling happening on Dynamite this week. I mean, Impact just their show on Tuesday. We still have Dynamite, but again, is there even going to be any cross promotion of Hard to Kill? Are they even going to talk about it? They really haven't. So ultimately, what there's not a huge benefit.
Realistically, Rich Swann and the Machine Gun should show up and do something. But
they should.
Here's the thing: this has already been taped. Like, sorry, people, yeah. Spoilers. This has already been taped. Look, Ethan Page and the Karate Man was filmed in November, and like literally, this is it, and that's part of the issue. Not that you couldn't throw them on an airplane. Now the problem is, maybe they could look different on Wednesday than they do on Saturday, and that can. But you know, I think we as a fan base can accept that at this point. Yeah. I just feel like I've been preconditioned, and I've also preconditioned myself to expect the worst out of stuff like this. And so far, mm-hmm. It's proven that to be right. Maybe they'll surprise me, and maybe Rich Swann will pull off the win, and then we have ourselves a story. But I just wrote an article to Chairshot called Booking Backwards and Understanding Why Things Happen, and I feel like the end game in this is not making Impact Wrestling credible or Kenny Omega and Rich Swann in a big marquee match. I think it's just Kenny Omega and the stroking of the ego and AEW. And to me, if that's the end game, then this is just a point in the story that we're not going to remember next year.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's crazy to think about. Last year, the World Championship was the centerpiece of this whole event. And now, not only it's not being defended, it's almost an afterthought, because another company's championship outweighs the importance of the, you know, Impact's championship, which again boggles my mind. If you would have said a year ago this is what Hard to Kill was going to look like in 2021, I would have said, get out of here. I'd be shocked. Shocked, I tell you. But you know what? This is also a good exercise in seeing how much things change in a year. Being able to compare last year's Hard to Kill card with this year's and seeing, you know, a lot of people on this list on the show were in different roles, weren't even with a company last year. So who knows what we're going to see a year from now. But that's also kind of the beauty and the fun of wrestling. It's constantly changing, constantly evolving, and that's what keeps it fun and entertaining. So I highly recommend watching Hard to Kill this Saturday, January 16th. It is going to be available on pay-per-view and also through the Fight TV app, also through the Impact Plus app. You can purchase it, and I will definitely be giving my thoughts on next week's show of some of the results. So make sure you stay tuned. But up next, well, we got to pay some bills.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
I gotta find it. Oh, there it is. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Are you really fucking with me right now? Are you fucking with me?
And there you have it, everyone. Another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show in the books, the first one of 2021. I was very excited to come back, getting to share with you my thoughts of Hard to Kill 2021 and also some of my experiences from last year's Hard to Kill. It will always be a special event for me. I will always remember the event that made me a wrestling fan as a kid, which was WrestleMania 14. But I will always remember the event that made me feel like a wrestling adult. I don't know if that's the right word, but as someone who getting to see the other side of professional wrestling, getting to experience professional wrestling in a different manner as representing thechairshot.com, it was an experience that to this day I have not been able to replicate because of COVID, but also just will leave a very special memory in my heart. So I think for as long as I keep doing this, I will always cover Hard to Kill because that will always be an event that's very near and dear to me. So I'll just keep on doing it. I don't care if you guys like it or not. Just is the way that it is. But I hope you do. Like I said, I hope you do check out Hard to Kill or at least stay up to what's happening with that show. I'm sure lots of people will just because of the big, big storyline for the main event. But I mean, this also shows so much can happen and change in a year. Greg, I'm curious if anybody, if you would have to kind of visit yourself, if Greg today would visit Greg exactly a year ago, what do you think he would say to himself?
He wouldn't even believe his eyes. Like that's crazy to even think about. Like so much has happened, and that's, I mean, this show's already over an hour and 8 minutes, I guess, at this point, hour, 9 minutes. And we could go for a whole, we could double that very easily in answering that question. January 2020 me would be very happy to see January 2021 me.
Yeah. I think the same. I think overall pretty happy. I think there'd be so many questions. I'd be the type who'd want to know everything as to what happened. And again, I don't think I'd even believe myself because it's just so much within the world.
Yeah.
But to hear and learn about how 2020 went and how it was handled and, you know, the good things that came out of it would be, you know, a very cool thing. So I think it's one of those moments that anyone could have that in hindsight we don't know what this year will hold, but I'm sure a year from now we may be surprised but also pretty proud of who we are today. So always keep that in mind. In the moment it may not feel like it because we're dealing with lots of stuff, lots of shit, you guys. It happens, totally understandable, but I think we'd be surprised about how you know going back in time and looking back how many things we actually persevere through and survive and get through and grow from to be the people that we are today. So that is my cute little love note to all of you listeners. A big thank you to those who've listened to the Hashtag Miranda Show, whether this is your first episode or you've listened before. A huge, huge thank you. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Me, Miranda Morales, you can find me at the Hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook. A special treat for those following me on Facebook. I'm going to be sharing some of the videos from last year's Hard to Kill of some of the interviews that I did, including Ace Austin, Sami Callihan, and Taya Valkyrie. So make sure if you want to see some of those, I'll be sharing those again on my Facebook at the Hashtag Miranda. If you want to follow Greg, you can follow him at ChairShotGreg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Some wrestling content, but mainly lots of CrossFit stuff. That's just, you know, he is a CrossFit Instagram influencer now.
It's the way it is now.
Would you see if I would have said that to you in January 2020? That I don't think you'd believe. You're an Instagram CrossFit influencer.
Not at all. 100% would not have.
Not at all. And you can follow the Chair Shot on social media at Chair Shot Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And of course, you can visit thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Don't forget that you can listen to this show and others from the ChairShot Radio Network, of course, on thechairshot.com and your favorite podcast streaming platform. That's Google Play, iTunes, Podbay, Spotify, all of that. You can listen to it. And if you do, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Subscribe so that way you get notifications on when new episodes drop. You can rate, leave a 5-star. And also review. So leave your comments on things you like about the show, things you may not like, future topics that you think I should cover, and all that good stuff. So again, thank you. I'm excited for 2021. I hope you all are too. We will be back to do this all over again. So make sure you stay tuned. For Greg DeMarco, I'm Miranda Morales. Don't forget to always keep it soft style.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.